June 7th, 2009, you are listening to the TFormers.com podcast. Welcome to the TFormers.com podcast. I am your host, Iron High 1975, and this week I'm just joined by the ever lovable
Zip Piper, now internet capable.
Yay for internet.
Yes.
Yes, don't you hate when things you just can't get online and you realize how much of your life is dependent on being online?
It's one of those sobering yet pathetic moments where it's like you just sit there staring at the computer and looking over at your TV, wondering why the cable's not on as well, and then trying to do the phone and realizing that you bought that all-inclusive package. So when it's gone, it's gone. Hello.
Wow, that was weird.
Yeah, complaining about internet and then getting
the drops off. Yeah, that's weird. Hopefully Comcast isn't – anyhow. All right. Well, did you – get a chance to though look at all the BotCon stuff from last week though?
I got a chance to look at a lot of it. I mean, admittedly, I wasn't going to sit and click through like 300, you know, pictures and whatnot. I kind of viewed the thumbnails and the ones that looked kind of cool, you know, I would click on and whatnot. And, you know, I tell you what, man, some of the costumes, at least a couple of them that I saw, were really impressive. I liked the one guy that did Bumblebee.
Well, I think some of them... I don't know. I would assume that that's – well, I guess that would be somebody that would make it handmade. Now that I think about it, that would be something like Hasbro hiring anybody or something.
Oh, no. I mean, that's just handmade. I mean, from the look of it, at least the one guy with the bumblebee, it had the sheen on it that made it look to me like it was, you know, literally like the I forget what you call it, but it's like the formed plastic. It's like the same stuff that people make like all the Stormtrooper costumes out of, you know, right, for Star Wars and whatnot. And that looked really good.
I think that was probably the best part about kind of, to be honest with you. And to be honest, I'm a little glad that I didn't spend the money on going, because from what I hear, it was a little bit of a bust. So,
really?
Yeah, a lot of... first of all, you had the whole fact of Animated being canceled and nobody giving, you know, Hasbro saying, we'll talk to Cartoon Network, Cartoon Network saying, talk to Hasbro, and nobody really wanting to comment on that, other than the fact that, yeah, we're done with it. And then you just had pretty much everything that we already knew, minus a couple of new toys, and that was pretty much about it. And then one big party featuring for the movie. So from a lot of aspects, at least from what a lot of people have said, it, you know, compared to last year, at least when, you know, when you and I went, it just didn't seem to have the same excitement this time around. So,
well, I mean, a lot of that literally might have been the overarching, you know, emotional aspect of things. You know, right, last year when we went, you know, Animated was going strong and there was the hype for the new movie and whatnot. And, you know, there was a lot of positive stuff. And this year, I mean, Animated was so well received, as far as I can tell, you know, from everybody, that part of it was kind of like attending a wake.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like...
And that's what everyone was saying. It was just, there was that, and it just seemed like there wasn't anything new that we haven't seen before or stuff that hasn't leaked out already. So, sadly, you know, that seemed to be the case. But all in all, I think the people that did go, I mean, it was fun to be there. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, fun to be there. You know, the costumes, talking to people who share your love. And, you know, if you've got the extra cash to, you know, get the crazy, you know, awesome toys, you know, that fill in the holes and whatnot for your collection. But, you know, I mean, that's one downside with the whole internet thing. It's like, oh, there really wasn't much new. It's like, well, sadly, yeah, now that the internet's a part of our daily lives, those days are gone, man. I mean, unless you're talking a one or two person show where they can keep everything absolutely tight-lipped until they release it, right. Gone are the days of surprises, you know, and that makes me sad. I mean, that's, you know, as a slight tangent, that's when I stopped playing Magic, you know, like going to the pre-release tournaments and whatnot, because when I started playing, you literally would open the packs and figure out the cards and do a deck right there. Nowadays, everybody, the whole card list is online. People have already, you know, practiced with fake cards and they know exactly what to draft and what to do. It's just the internet's kind of ruined a lot of stuff in some aspects.
Well, it's also done a lot of things, although I thought the whole idea of the internet was is that we get one standard release date everywhere, but that doesn't seem to be the case. But we'll get to that news in a second.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'd rather have the internet than not. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. I'm just saying, gone are the days of new and exciting, fun surprises. I mean, it's just – it's out. Any idiot with a cell phone can ruin anything on in the internet.
Of course, I say that now realizing we're a major spoiler podcast. So the irony of my statements are like, But, well, speaking of podcasts, just a quick note. Next Saturday, we are doing a live show via Ustream. Don't ask me the information yet. I have to figure it out yet. But we are going to be doing a live T-Former show and basically celebrating 1 year of doing the podcast. So we'll have more information. Watch the tformers.com website throughout the week where you can log in and basically talk to me, Z Piper, in a chat room and as we go over the news for the week. So that's around noon this coming June 13th at noon Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, I got to get all up in that Ustream stuff too. I don't have anything installed with that yet.
Well, you don't have to do much except just log on to what I'll give you. I have to the setup is what I have to do because I have to basically channel Skype back into Ustream in order to get more than one person. So I gotta figure that out. But I will have that done hopefully by Friday. So
right on.
If not, then I'll be pushing it to the last minute. So. That being said, jumping into news, movie news, the big, not really big, but Michael Bay says he's basically working up to the last minute working on the movie and saying that Revenge of the Fallen will be finished, well, it would probably be last Wednesday, but speaking with MTV before his appearance at the Movie Awards, he says he's a little stressed because I'm finishing the movie tomorrow or maybe Wednesday. And he left the MTV Awards immediately after presenting the preview clip and is headed to work on the soundstage where they're mixing the audio. And he'll be working 7 days up till the 2 a.m. finishing the movie. It's going to be down to the wire, which probably explains why the preview clip we saw for at the MTV Movie Awards looked a little rough. The comments from people is that the robots did not look like they were properly rendered, which scares me because... if there's one moment where it doesn't look real in this movie, it's going to ruin the whole movie for me.
Well, I mean, I can see that. I mean, I don't know. You know, it might have just been the quality of that clip. I mean, you know, who's to know, really? But they generally work on these things up until the last minute. Right. As far as the actual rendering of the effects go, I mean, you know, who knows? I'm not exactly up on the most current technology, but they might have like one more shader pass to do or something along those lines, which, you know, shouldn't, you know, be too big of a problem. I mean, it looks like obviously the main work's done. It has to be at this point. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, too pressed. I don't think it'll end up being like Wolverine where all of a sudden you can tell where the special effects budget ran out.
That's what I'm worried about. That and like Spider-Man 2 where it's like, okay, we could tell that's just a little too fake. I mean, I really want everything in this movie to look as realistic as – I don't want there to be one moment because there's maybe one moment with the original movie. But beyond that, the original Transformers movie, I didn't see any problems with anything. In terms of, you know, nothing looking real. So I'm hoping that's the case here. But like the one part where I guess when Scavenger broke into the building, they said looked a little rough. So I'm hoping they have all the special effects done and that isn't the completed thing just for lack of time. So.
Right. And I think a good practice too would be to go into this movie, you know, that you see for the first time, obviously hoping for the best. You know, we all love the Transformers and whatnot, but not expecting, you know, like dinner with Jesus. You know, it just go in there, because I mean, really, if you build it up so much in your mind, nothing is going, you know, it won't be what you think it is. So it's like, right. I'm going in, I'm just expecting more explosions, big robots, you know, hopefully a little more engaging of a plot, you know, which seems like it's going to be, and a little bit better resolution on things, and hopefully they'll have a minimum of things like all of a sudden Bumblebee can talk. Oh, okay. You know,
right.
Those are the things that, I mean, I can forgive, you know, if the special effects kind of wane in one or two areas, but you know, as I've said many times, it's the little things that irritate the crap out of me that don't need to be there.
Right.
You know?
And believe me, that's actually, when you say that, that's come up in a lot of movies I've seen least recently where I'm sort of like, you know, God, Jason would hate this thing because it's like, you know, anyhow, I won't go into details. We were watching a horror movie last night and the plot was driving me nuts. But yeah, so I'm going into it with the sort of the opinion I had of Star Trek, not expecting much, but hoping for something that actually is going to be pretty decent no matter what. So
yeah, I mean, I'm actually hoping for the same thing that happened with Star Trek. Going in, hoping for the best, and coming out feeling like I was smashed in the face with a baseball bat of joy.
Ooh, a nice analogy. All right, moving on. 7-Up formally announces revenge tie-in. And
no, not 7-Up,
7-Eleven. I'm sorry. Why don't you read that then, since I can't read?
So 7-Eleven Incorporated formally announced their promotional tie-in for the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. So we previewed a plastic Ravage cup earlier, and then you get Bumblebee, Optimus Prime, and Megatron. And for $1.99, you can outfit your cup with a climbing figure straw featuring Bumblebee, Prime, Megatron, and the Fallen. So this kind of, to me, falls under the realm of, yeah, it's Transformers news, but do you really care?
Yeah.
It's you know, like anything else, it's a plastic cup that, you know, if you collect absolutely everything that they slap Transformers on, then here you go. Otherwise, it'll be a nice diversion as you get your Mountain Dew slushy big gulp on your way to the Transformers movie.
Now, we like, when Star Wars re-released and came out, we like ran a Taco Bell every night to get a cup with our one friend. But it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to be running to 7-Eleven. If I happen to be in 7-Eleven and I'm there, then I'll pick it up and maybe retain it for value, but not going to be running out just to pick up a cup.
I miss the days of like the cups that lasted a while, like the old McDonald's cups, you know, like with the Muppet movie and Star Wars and whatnot. Obviously, you know, because of Sutastic America, you can't do that anymore because somebody, of course, would break it and cut themselves and ask for $4 million. Mm-hmm. But even if it's not, you know, a glass, just something more than your typical sippy cup would be nice, even if it was like a thicker gauge of plastic. Right. Even if, you know, you paid more for it, have kind of like an upgraded version, I think would be really cool. But as it stands, these, it's like they're fine, but after like 40 rounds through the dishwasher, you know, the image peels and, you know, it looks kind of cruddy.
Yeah, nothing to write home about. But speaking of that, I have another story. We'll jump down to this other story real quick about the M&M's promotion commercial online.
Oh, yeah.
Since we were talking about that. So you probably see on TV, you could check out the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen M&M's commercial and the strawberry peanut butter flavored candies. This commercial was directed by Michael Bay and features an appearance by Optimus Prime himself and makes absolutely no freaking sense. So for those of you who haven't seen Optimus, the candies are like at the station. They're like, who's delivering this? And Optimus pulls up and then picks up a trailer and throws it. Is that how he's delivering the M&Ms? I don't know.
Well, as I was saying before, it's like that was a 15-second spot. That's the only one that we've seen so far, at least that I've been able to find. And typically they cut one commercial that's a 30-second spot originally, and then they literally just slice it down to 15 seconds depending on where they want to run it. So I'd be kind of curious to see the 30-second spot before I pass judgment. But yeah, that was just – yeah, I just – like the 15-second spot, it's just – and it just seems crass.
Yeah.
For Optimus, like he shows up to a party and sticks his fuel pump in the mashed potatoes. You know,
it's just like that doesn't make any sense. Why would Optimus do that? So
yeah, I don't know. I want to see the 30-second. I'm assuming there's one. You know, but maybe
yeah,
there's
who
not.
Who knows with today's ADD? You know, it's you got all those freaking commercials now on your TV ads, which if it's a good comedy show, we'll actually make fun of these days, which I give them props for. So, but then again, you know, I hardly even watch commercials anymore, except for that stupid Liberty Mutual commercial that I always seem to run across and makes me depressed. Have you seen that one?
I can't say that I have.
No. All right. Well, if you get a chance, go to Liberty Mutual site and see this commercial of his dad saying, you know, we got to cut back and things are bad. It's like the most depressing commercial ever.
Oh, they're all sitting around doing the dinner table thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Although, you know, obviously I have seen it. But before, you know, if I hadn't seen it, I was probably going to politely decline because to me that would fall under the same category of, oh, my God, this tastes terrible. Try this. I'll take your word for it.
I think he hates it. Yes, I hate this more. Please.
Yeah, exactly. You've just fallen down a well. Are you okay? Oh, I'm perfect.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, so that's a weird commercial. All right. Well, then tell us about, speaking of commercials, well, actually, let's do, first we have concept art for The Fallen. Tell us about that, Jace.
Well, if the high-res shot of The Fallen, which, you know, is also on the website if you want to check that out, if that didn't satisfy your hunger, here's something else to throw your way. Thanks to TFG2, we have concept art of the Mega Baddie, and he looks menacing even when not all CG'd up. You can take a look at the full article, which... yeah, Revenge of the Fallen comes out in 21 – well, actually, that's 21 days now. Break out my abacus and figure that out. But, yeah, I mean, you know, nice little image. You know, it's a nice straight-on shot. Again, I can kind of see the, you know, Egyptian overtones there.
In it.
Huh? What?
So sort of like the original Decepticon logo in it.
Yeah, you can see that. I mean, I can definitely see influences by H.R. Giger and – yeah, I mean, it's looks pretty good.
I'm surprised the website still have like 3D turnaround panorama things that you can look at all the robots with. I'm surprised we haven't been given that on some of the websites.
Well, I mean, a lot of that too may be that, you know, proprietary stuff. They don't want to, you know, give that to the general public, you know, because for what would we do with them?
Yeah, good point.
Optimus Prime does something inappropriate with RC. Yeah, they don't want to see that.
Well, that already happened, but that's a whole nother story. All right, five Transformers Revenge of the Fallen TV spots are online, and basically the five commercials are available. Each commercial gives you a little bit more of what you haven't seen already, like one that we see a little more of Jetfire transforming. Little bits here and there. Basically, they're tracking you, Sam. You know, they want what's in your mind, and... you know,
I won't leave without you.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, it's good promotion. Don't get me wrong. Some. If this isn't the money shots and whatnot, or if these are just the general ones and they're saving the big ones for the movie, I'm gonna be impressed because these are pretty impressive so far.
I did like the one spot that, I mean, it was very quick and you could tell it was like part of another shot that they just kind of cut, you know, to put into this preview. But, you know, you actually got to see Devastator starting to form.
Uh-huh.
That I really liked a lot.
Yeah, I think pretty much this movie is going to hit a lot of spots. It's going to please the old fans and as well as everyone that just, you know, got reborn to the series and just recently jumped on just because of the previous movie. All in all, I mean, I'm amazed to be living at the time where I'm actually seeing this. I thought it'd be a couple more years in my lifetime, like 40 or 50, where we see live action movies with Transformers that look this real. And I'm just thoroughly impressed on every aspect. So with that little reflection, moving on to Transformers the Cheap Trick. You can get online, but not really.
I was gonna say, I clicked on all the links. I'm like, okay, I'll listen to it. We're probably gonna talk about it, and everything's like, subscribe to this, pay for this.
I can't seem to find it, and you know, I'll be honest with you, I haven't illegally downloaded it either, because I would really like to pay for, you know, the soundtrack, but...
I would like to be a good little boy and not do any internet piracy.
Well, at least for this, but don't get me started on that topic, because I have a whole rant about that. But I can't seem to find anywhere. Then again, you know, I haven't checked YouTube, but You know what? We'll follow up on that next week because I have a feeling that I could probably find it. So let me find it and we'll follow up on how Cheap Trick sounds like doing the. So far, the comments seem to be it sounds like a karaoke remix. So.
Great. I mean, to me, the only Cheap Trick song worth listening to is Surrender, and that was back when they had like their little, you know, punky roots. And
no,
you know,
I like The Flame. For me, I love The Flame.
Oh, that's so whiny.
Oh, I love that song. One of my favorite.
Listen, if you've never heard Surrender, listen to Surrender and tell me that is not by far a superior Cheap Trick product. But anyway, okay. You know?
Well, there, just a quick side note, not to begin a promotion for them, but go download their Authorized Live biography. Great versions of all their songs you got to get. So if you want to get some good Cheap Trick stuff live, go get that. I mean, the Flame was amazingly 10 times better live than, you know, the soft rock version. So, but all right. Okay, Jace, well, how much do we think Transformers is going to make for opening weekend? What's your guesstimate?
Well, with, you know, Michael Bay's constant pushing it up, trying to get the entire month of June to the end of July clarified as opening weekend, I'm going for $500 million.
I guess would that be $500 million? $160 million?
No, $500 million would be $500 million.
Oh, okay.
But,
all right.
No, yeah.
I don't do math.
Yeah. No, they're basically Paramount Pictures, you know. They've done surveys and, you know, all kinds of things, you know, focus groups and how much they like it, how much they've heard. Are you going to see it? Are you going to see it multiple times? All that other stuff. And based upon all the information that they've got, they are classifying this as a 5-day opening weekend, you know, so Wednesday through Sunday. And they're pegging it at around $160 million based upon the feedback that they've gotten so far.
Nice.
So, I mean, that's great. You know, more dump trucks of money, you know, good. I mean, we kind of knew there was going to be a third movie anyway.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if they're just talking, you know, $160 million and then you got DVD sales plus the movie's going to be out for at least a month. I mean, obviously, if these figures are accurate, it'll cement, you know, the third movie hopefully sooner rather than later.
Right. Well, in fact, I think we can announce that you're actually coming into town Friday to watch this with me. So maybe we'll actually do a live in studio, Z Piper in studio review of Transformers and have that posted on maybe the 27th earlier or something on there.
Yeah, we can do. We can actually do the podcast, you know, and I'll have a decent microphone for once and maybe I won't sound so tinny. Yeah, actually get that out of the way and do that on the weekend.
All right. So then we also have, for more promotion, God, we have a lot of movie news this week. Revenge tie-in LG Versa and Nest site now online with never before seen pics. Jace, if you would please.
Oh, go ahead. You do this one. Oh, it's okay. All good.
Well, continuing LG and Paramount Pictures partnership, the filmmakers and launched the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen tie-in website featuring games and exclusive content. The website puts you in the shoes of the non-biological extraterrestrial species team. It is quite robust with two cell phone games, which ties together a phone call while playing on the website. And there is exclusive content, too, with two free ringtones, wallpapers, headshots, and all bunch of flash goodiness. So you can go check that out at, I believe it is lgnest.com. It's not a bad website. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff I wish I could get my hands into working on because I love, like, interactive games where they, you know, sort of take you in the tour and stuff like that. And I just looked at it briefly, but it's really nicely designed. So go check that out.
Right on. I only briefly touched on that one. That's another reason why I had you do that one, because I didn't feel, you know, if we were really going to get into the nuts and bolts of it, I haven't had a chance to really delve into that yet.
Yeah, to be honest, it's been a busy week for me, too. It's like, I need like a week off just to recuperate from my previous week. But go check that out and get some never-before-seen desktop wallpaper if you want. So.
Right on.
All right. So, hey, how close are you to – I'm getting better at these tangents. Look at this. How close are you to Bethlehem, PA?
Not altogether too close, but PA is kind of going through this let's have casinos to help our economy kind of a thing because, mm-hmm. you know, in a depression, you know, what goes up? You know, cigarettes, you know, alcoholism, you
and
know,
gambling.
Right, exactly. So it's a great time to open all these new resorts and things. It's just that, you know, like we've got here in Pittsburgh a new casino called the Three Rivers that are – or the Rivers Casino that's opening up.
Right.
But it's like – I don't know. I mean, I guess – for people who just like electronic slots and whatnot, it's like they passed the laws in PA to allow that to occur, but there's no table games. So it's not like a casino like you would normally think. And I'll assume that the Bethlehem, when we're talking about the Sands, is the same way. It's like they'll have electronic slots, electronic roulette, you know, and whatnot, electronic blackjack, and the rest is just bars and restaurants and whatnot, which to me, you know, it's like if I'm going to a casino, I want the table games. I want to feel the cards in my hand. I want to see the ball bounce around the roulette wheel. So, you know, I guess it's obviously doing well enough, you know, and good on them if it helps to get that town area, you know, back on its feet a little bit, because I know that the Rivers one created like 1,200 jobs or something here in Pittsburgh.
Right.
So if that did the same, you know, good on you. I mean, I think it's kind of boring, just a bunch of electronic games, you know, if I'm losing money on them.
Well,
but
I'm reading – let's see. I'm reading this now. Let me briefly gloss over the Philadelphia Philly.com. Let's see, 700 – let's see, 3,000 slot machines. So four restaurants and two lounges. Yeah, I don't think it says anything. And the one picture I got is just slot machines. So I'm guessing that's – well, let me really quickly look at some other pictures here.
I'm doubting they have table games, man. It's pretty much all going to be all electronic at this point.
Well, what's the difference between – is like table games that like taboo? I mean, what's the problem with table games? Is it just
– You have to have a completely separate – you know, type of, you know, laws and regulations for that, because they are manned by a person.
Right.
It's not just a machine you go up and stick money in and see what happens. That requires a lot less stuff, whereas you bring more people into it. So, yeah, I mean, like you've got electronic blackjack, electronic roulette, but, you know, you won't have the wide variety of table games. Like you're not going to have craps.
Right.
You know, at these places, and you know, for our older listeners, you know, that know how to play craps, that's a fun game. Even if you're just standing around, you know, yelling and screaming at the shooter, you know, that's fun. You know, and you just can't get that in an electronic environment.
It looks really, I mean, from the photos and the concept art, this looks really amazing. So,
oh yeah, the places are top notch. You know, I mean, it's very beautiful. So.
Well, but, you know, I know when Ohio here, where they're still trying to get just one casino, and they keep people keep turning it down. It's like, well, you know, let's just, for various reasons, and I won't get too off on a political tangent, but I know for my family, they love to gamble and go to Las Vegas, and you know, what a better way than instead of having traveled to, you know, Nevada, have it here and local. I mean, I think it would help the economy, but. All right. Well, so Bethlehem still gets new life as the Sands Casino. Why that is Transformers related, because I believe they filmed some stuff there. So
yeah, they filmed it, you know, as a stand-in for that fictional Chinese city. So, I mean, yeah, you got to tie in there. So I suppose that once you see the movie and you maybe go to this casino, you'd be like, oh, yeah.
That's where Bumblebee stood.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so the Transformers stars come in, Stan Bush basically performing. We have some video from the guys, Peter Cullen, Weird Al, and Tyrese Gibson, basically saying Stan Bush is great.
Yeah, you know, they're not going to get on there being like, you know what, I thought a new song was a little whiny.
It's funny because the guy interviewing Weird Al said, because Weird Al thought he was going to do the new version. He saw the new version, and the guy in the background who actually edited it said, yeah, the fans have been sort of not liking it. And Weird Al's just like, well, hey, any version I'm sure is going to be fine. And
yeah, you got to give the nice – You know, oh, it's great. You know, even if you don't like it. So we'll never know what their true feelings are on the issue. But which version did he play?
I'm assuming it's the original. I don't know. In fact, I was talking with Ender, who unfortunately couldn't join us because he's sick with pneumonia. Yeah. And he said he could hear him getting worse when I talked to him last on the last BotCon wrap-up podcast. But he basically, I was asking him, and he doesn't know. So if anybody does know, I'm sure we'll be corrected by the fans. I'm assuming it's got to be the original one, because I think if he started playing the new one, he would be a lot of boos would suddenly come from the audience. So.
No, that's cool. I mean, at least that, you know, he'd be responsive, because, I mean, everybody's got their opinions. But I mean, as I've stated previously, I don't like the new version. It just it destroys everything that I loved about the first one. I mean, we don't need to go back into it again, but at least they're aware that, yeah, you know, a lot of people really like this.
I did a quick search. Let me on YouTube really quick. Let me see Paramount Party 2009. Let me see if I can. You got the touch. It sounds all right. All right. It sounds, yeah, it's hard to hit those notes live, but he does a formidable job. And
and keep in mind, his pipes are 25 years older, or like 22 years older now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you could always transpose and still have the same, you know, spirit of the song, but you know, it sounds pretty good. I may just grab that and plug that in here just for a short intermission. All right. Well, I lost my place with my stuff there.
We're pretty much up to toys, other than that IMAX on the Revenge of the Fallen's opening on June 24th.
Yeah, nothing new there to report. Yeah. IMAX, awesome. So, all right, well, going into toy news, tell us about the toys, Jace, why I look for my place.
Well, the first one, we've got Revenge of the Fallen Deluxe Swerve and Gears Bio. So, I mean, we pretty much know about the, you know, these little guys. We've already heard, you know, a good deal about them. But now we've got some pretty decent res screenshots of the back of their packages. And, you know, it's kind of funny, you know. they're definitely, you know, doing the standard, you know, cartoon thing where it's like extreme personality types, you know, are what we need to really make things stand out. So, you know, Gears is your complainer, you know, worrywart, you know,
no,
whatever.
Autobot Gears, because we obviously lost the name Gears.
Whatever. And yeah, Swerve, I think's kind of funny because he's your typical, you know, kind of like the all the old hat makers back in the day used mercury, and so, you know, everybody, all the hat makers after a certain period of time went crazy. You know, that's where the term mad as a hatter comes from. And him being a metallurgist, you know, he's all kind of whacked out in the circuitry because of he's like half, I guess his circuitry is like half melted and whatnot.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Oh, you didn't read that?
No, I'm just reading this now. So,
yeah, so that's why his name's Swerve, because, you know, he's his equilibrium destabilized.
Well, you know, I was in Target the other day, and they did have some of the Revenge of the Fallen toys. I did see Sideswipe. I did see, the one Constructed Con I really like.
Rampage. I from the Bulldozer.
Yeah, Rampage. The toys look good. They had some of the smaller toys. They had the helmets. They had the blasters. And that was about it in Target. But, I mean, the toys are out there. And I have to say, the toys look good. I'm sort of waiting for a couple months to pick up toys due to financial things that I'm going through, but definitely check those out. I mean, they're all out everywhere, and I know the boards are going nuts saying, there's toys here, there's toys at this Walmart, there's toys over at this Target. So, it looks, I'm glad that they're actually at least branching out with some other characters. We may not see them in the movie, but they do look good.
Right on.
All right. What else we got in toys?
We've got the SDCC exclusive 25th anniversary Soundwave packaging. Ooh. So again, you know, we've known this guy's coming for a while and we're all very happy about that. But you do get to see the packaging, which, you know, has kind of that nice mix between, you know, the old stuff from the 80s that you know, many of us liked and, you know, keeping it fresh and updated with the new stuff. So, I mean, there's not really much to say, you know, other than, you know, it's his packaging and it looks good.
Well, Soundwave looks good. It looks like the one with the did somebody tell us it was just the regular flush and not the extended case that holds?
Maybe
the photo's wrong, but you do get Buzzsaw, Rat-Bat, Laserbeak, and Ravage, which I think getting Laserbeak and Buzzsaw at once is a great deal because it's hard to find, I think, Buzzsaw unless you got the original Soundwave. But all in all, you know, if you haven't picked up Soundwave, here's your chance to get him again, folks. And it looks good.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Probably, I think, the favorite toy of all Transformer fans of all time, next to Optimus Prime, probably, and Megatron. So, all right. Well, we also got, you can get free M&M's Prime-themed candy dispenser at Target. If you buy 5 M&M's, you can actually get a dispenser with the little M&M guy dressed up as Prime. And go to TransformersCandyDispenser.com and for more information. I think that's a pretty decent deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm trying to, because the picture I'm looking at, you know, it's got him standing on top of like a little, you know, machine.
Right.
Do you get the whole thing or do you just get the topper?
I think you get the whole machine. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you could buy something for work and, you know, have something on your desk at work. I think that's that's a really good marketing idea, if I do say so myself, being in marketing.
It looks pretty cute. Now, if the illustration is to be believed and the M&Ms are of, you know, actual size, then your whole thing's probably only going to be about like 5 inches tall. But, you know, still, yeah, like, you know, enough to hold like a regular pack of M&Ms on your desk. And, you know, it's not bad.
I mean,
of in the sea of cross merchandising crap that's out there, this isn't too bad.
And quite honestly, I mean, you know, debates about Bird Camp. I don't know why they don't get like McDonald's in terms of they want to, you know, health, you know, concepts aside, if I was marketing and I wanted to get the most range, you would want to go with McDonald's because I still think they're the biggest one out there in terms of fast food chains.
Now, here's the thing. Now, again, I'm not 100% certain on this, but I'm fairly certain that it's bid on by the things. So Burger King possibly got it because they gave Paramount or whoever else a more lucrative offer than McDonald's was willing to. So it's not a matter of them getting McDonald's. It's a matter of who wants to pony up the most to get the license.
Right. But see, for me, I would just go right to McDonald's. But then again, I see what you're saying. There's a bidding war. But in terms of candies, you know, M&M's, it's a good wholesome value in terms of a candy. They got a great marketing scheme that's lasted them a good 10 years with the computer animated characters. You know, it's just marketing brilliance in terms of this, in my opinion. And I guess that's all that could be said about that. So, there's my marketing background coming out, so I just had to say that. So, good job who's ever in the marketing department over there at Hasbro/Paramount, Michael Bay, etc. Okay, so, Jace, Revenge of the Fallen game. Tell us what the developer has said.
Well, GameSpot recently had the chance to talk to LuxoFlux's Chris Tremmel, the creative director for Activision's upcoming Revenge of the Fallen game. The interview spotlights the game's multiplayer modes and strategy, as the website as well touched on during their hands-on preview of the game. The multiplayer will feature 5 modes: deathmatch, so run around, kill your buddies; team deathmatch, run around and kill your buddies with other buddies; one shall stand, which from, you know, my multiplayer gaming would probably mean you get one life and whoever's the last person alive wins. So you would fare well in that, since you like to run around and just hide for the entire thing. And then as somebody runs by, you pop them in the head. So that would do good for you.
Thanks. That goes back to our old days of playing Quake and me just, you know, camping. I've got
sitting up in the rafters. Yes,
I don't do that anymore. You can't do that in some of the games because there's no good hiding spots in the games anymore.
Aw, you got to play the game. I'm so sorry. Anyway,
I don't mind playing the game. I just don't like dying every 5 seconds like you do in Halo. I want a little bit more armor to my character so I last a little bit longer, so I can actually aim before I shoot you. Go on.
Or you could, you know, L2 play noob.
L2 play noob?
Learn to play noob. Anyway.
I rarely play games to begin with. But anyhow, go on.
Well, anyway, another version, there's control points, which, you know, I would imagine would be there's multiple points on the map. And the longer you or your buddies are in control of them, you gain points of some sorts. And then battle for the shards. So I really don't know about that other than maybe there's one or two shards and you kill your buddies and take their shards. And I don't know. We'll see how that shakes out.
All right, so we just watched that and the video from, I believe, E3. And basically, the benefit of playing with, you know, your teammates is that it's sort of like World of Warcraft. You got a healer or, you know, someone that has a special ability that helps you. And in combination, it basically benefits you to play with your teammates. So, I mean, just watching the video of this thing, holy cow, this looks like the World of Warcraft of Transformer games.
Wow, I don't know.
I wouldn't say that.
You know, it looks pretty good. I mean, you know, your standard, you know, it's going to have he did say the Battle for the Shards was kind of like a Capture the Flag style game. So that makes sense, you know. But, I mean, no, obviously it's not going to be nearly as in-depth, you know, as far as classes go as regular MMOs. But, you know, he's basically just saying that each character's got two weapons and, you know, like some special characteristics. So, yeah, Ratchet can heal where other characters can't. And the one dude's got a deployable turret, you know. And, you know, anybody that's played any kind of games like that, you know, deployable, like little sentry guns that you can just lay down there and just, oh, those are so much fun.
Cool. Well, we'll see if we can get our hands on it and maybe play it when you come visit. So, all right. So Revenge Wave 3 Assortment Images and Bios are now up in tformers.com. And you could take a look at like Mudflap, Cannon Bumblebee, Interrogator Barricade. There's Mixmaster, Voyager Class Megatron. And then we have Fast Action Battler, /Starscream, Scalpel, and Dune Runner and Ravage, and a whole bunch of other photos showcasing the toys coming from the movie. This looks like probably the actual set that was released from Hasbro finally. So
yes.
Anything particularly stick out of yours that you're curious about getting, Jace, perchance?
You mean like which toys am I responding to?
Yeah, which ones do you like, which ones you don't like? I mean, anything, you know, give me your thoughts real quick.
Well, I mean, I like Ravage just because, you know, we haven't really had an update of Ravage, and I don't mean the, you know, Alternators version or whatever where he was a car.
Right.
You know, we haven't had a good Ravage in a long, long time. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. You know, like the Dune Runner, I think, looks great in vehicle mode. Scalpel, the jury's still out on him. I think as a concept, his character is great, but the toy, once you actually get it and handle it, I mean, it's either going to be lame or really awesome. So I don't know about that. The vehicle mode though, I really do like Mixmaster. I like the silver, the black, and the nice big Decepticon symbol on the drum.
It's well designed, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, of all of the vehicle modes that I've seen of this line, I really like that one probably the best.
Right.
Like him a lot.
We also have official picks and bios of Revenge Wave 3 Fast Action Battlers, Gravity Bots, and Legends. And you can see Mudflap, you can see Ironhide, you can see Sideswipe, and then Autobot Skids, Gravity Bots, Bolt Bumblebee, and then Human Alliance, which we also got a Human Alliance Barricade with Frenzy, which really isn't Human Alliance.
Right.
So then you got the Legends, you got the Fallen, you got Grindor, you got Enforcer Ironhide. Just a ton. They were prepared for the movie this time in terms of toys. Let's just say that. And all the toys look really nice. You could check those out at tformers.com and or just go to your local, you know, place we don't mention and or Target. So, All right, cartoon news, which there isn't much to report other than obviously there's the box set of the G1 and then also the JC Mixed. They are releasing the entire G1 box set, the entire series, as a huge Matrix-style box.
Yep.
And that's pretty impressive. We talked about that last week. Beyond that, we know that the name was Slipstream and the Starscream clone. And basically, the rumor is because she wears a slip. And a lot of people have called that sexist. So, yeah, she was seen very briefly in Endgame 1, and that's it. So, who knows? And to add more to the plight and the frustration over Transformers Animated, Animated has officially been removed from Cartoon Network's schedule at this time.
Well, the Saturday schedule.
The Saturday schedule.
Yeah.
So here's the thing: is I was thinking about in retrospect about this. This is the thing that pissed me off. So you know, Hasbro came to us and said we're gonna do a new Transformers show. It's gonna be done well. It's gonna be brought back from overseas. We're gonna start a reboot, and we need you guys to get on board with this because it is gonna be a reboot, but you're gonna like it. And we're like, okay, we'll give it a chance. We saw it; it was awesome. And then after three seasons, it's over. And now I'm sort of like, you know, you guys asked us to invest in this show, and then every time we put our faith in something that you guys do, you pull the plug on it after a certain amount of time. So, you know, I can understand why fans are pissed. I mean, we're not, it seems like, I don't know. Hasbro obviously has to make money, and this is what they chose to do. But to me, it's like, did no one start a petition to keep Animated going? I mean, has there been no petition started yet saying Cartoon Network will buy more toys if you keep this going? You know, it's a really good show, and we really got into it.
You know, I mean, regardless of how we feel about it, I mean, you briefly touched on it there. It's money. And shareholders. Yes, it's still popular. Yes, it's still making money. But, you know, like, oh, last year it only generated $500 million for the company. This year it's down to $450 million for the company. Oh, we can't have that with our shareholders. They're wondering what's going on.
Right.
And it's all about maximizing the profit. As much as we would love to think that Hasbro, on a grand scheme, okay, listens to us, for the most part, they don't. Outside of simple, you know, like focus groups, you know, for them to figure out what the next thing they're going to come out with is. They are a business. I mean, I can only fault them so far because right. They are in the business to make money. But for them to think, I mean, for anyone to think that they would short their shareholders and their bottom line by, say, 8-10% or something to keep something that is emotionally beloved going, as opposed to rolling the dice on something new that could potentially make them even more money. I mean, to me, that you're deluding yourself.
I know, and I agree with you. It's just sad that, you know, that they I don't know, I feel sort of tricked, hornswoggled, whatever the word is, you know, that's like we put all this investment into Animated and now it's over. And, you know, for all aspects, it didn't end too badly. I mean, at least we got an ending compared to, you know, the original series. But it just had so much potential. It could have gone so far. It could have been Star Trek, where you had seven seasons of it and a nice, well follow-up movie, you know?
Oh, I agree. And I personally would have liked to have even had three full seasons. Because, I mean, right. I don't know the exact count, but I mean, yeah, when you add everything up, it was really only like two seasons worth of shows,
yeah,
you know, that we got. And yeah, I mean, I agree. It's like we invest in it, you know, we love it, you know, we give them kudos for it. But again, you got the boys on the board and they're looking at the bottom line, and it's just, it could still be performing really well. But if it's not up to what they want, you know, even just a little bit, they're going to nix it. And it's like, you know what? Hey, we got this movie coming out. It's guaranteed sales. Let's just throw everything in that and not diversify anymore and blam, and see how that works it. And, you know, and then once that, you know, we'll if whatever series they come out with based on the movie verse, mm-hmm. you know, we'll probably get a few years with that, and then they'll can that and then move on to something else.
Speaking of bottom line, so do you think GM could have picked a worse time to go in bankruptcy just before the release of this movie?
I'm not really sure that they chose that that's what they wanted to do.
Right, right. I know. I hear what you're saying, but man, that's just like, you have a movie coming out promoting all your cars pretty much, and it just, talk about bad timing. So, all right. Well, on to comic news. And once again, Ender is not feeling well. He was going to be here, and he's dealing with pneumonia. But he sends his love. And really quickly, new All-Hail Megatron cover images via his blog, Ryle Time. Chris Ryle, publisher and editor-in-chief of IDW, shared these five All-Hail Megatron Coda covers with us. No numeration is assigned to the images, but Prime and Ironhide are said to be featured in issue 13, and Perceptor's Change in Focus, pardon the pun, is expected in issue 15. No telling when Galvatron's solar bath will be done, and it is Starscream with the Matrix. And is that Starscream with the Matrix? That's never good. So in terms of covers, pretty, I like these covers. They're really, the one with, looks like Perceptor in the, what's that guy that the human form that's in the circle, Jace? You would know this.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You're talking, yeah, I forget the exact name of the piece, but yeah, I believe, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I like the artwork, and I like the at least the Perceptor stuff.
That Perceptor image would really be a nice T-shirt.
I know, yeah. Or the one with the code, the last one too, would be a really nice T-shirt too. So, but go check that out. And as soon as Ender comes back, I'm sure he'll have more to rant on All Hail Megatron. So stay tuned to the podcast, folks. And hey, I think that's about it for this week. So that actually seemed to go really... Oh, actually, check out Moonbase 2. Kello finally gets an interview with Shane McCarthy to talk about All Hail Megatron. So go check out the Moonbase 2 podcast with our friend Kello Prime. And he gets to actually interview Shane McCarthy about the series. So don't forget to check that out. So
he finally got to ask him, like, what the hell were you thinking?
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet. It just got posted today on our site. But... you know, Kello does an amazing job, and props to him and Andy for doing props to all the Transformers podcasters. I just saw that there's like two more shows of Transformers goodness on iTunes, and it's glad to see that there's more people getting out there talking about Transformers. So,
right on.
But don't forget us. And once again, you could check out tformers.com and also our community forums. And once again, this coming Saturday, we will be having a live show at noon, so please join us and give us your thoughts as we go through the news, and we'll take it from there. So that being said, this is Ironhide 1975.
And Zip Piper.
Have a good one, folks. TFormers.com podcast is copyright 2009 TFormers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Check out our forums and leave your feedback or send us an email at podcast@TFormers.com. This has been an E&I production, all rights reserved.